Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We have a great show today. We have with us in the booth, Jennifer DeRosa, owner of Adaptable for Life. Jennifer is an occupational therapist. Welcome, Jennifer.
Thank you, Julie. I'm so happy to be here.
It's great to have you here. We are going to talk about, in a little bit, because I have a lot of events to announce before we get going with our interview, but Jennifer and I are going to talk about considerations for older people, older adults who have dogs. And that is the preferred term for older people, older adults, retirement age and older, I would say, probably, because it's an interesting life together, I think, a dog, or especially when an older adult is looking to get a dog, and especially, you know, if they're looking to get a puppy, and what are some considerations about that? And you have some really wonderful stories that you're going to share with us as well.
So. Yes, I have some great stories. You know, not only does it impact the person and the family, but even, you know, the dog.
Yeah.
So.
Well, before we get going with that interview, I have quite a few announcements as far as events coming up. Dog's Day Out at Mulbach's in Woodinville, benefiting Homeward Pet Adoption Center, is Saturday, July 10th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's going to be seminars about gardening with a canine in mind, as well as socializing and training your dog for outings with Becky Bishop, Executive Director of Reading with Rover, which is an excellent program where kids read to dogs for practice and with a non-judgmental partner. Also, book signing with Val Mallinson, author of Dog Lover's Companion to the Pacific Northwest. And the website for Homeward Pet Adoption Center is www.homewardpet.org. And that's Saturday, July 10th. And I will post all of these events on the Dog Talk Show website, which is dogtalkshow.com. So if you can't write this down right now, you can just go to the website later and I'll have all of this information posted on the website. Let's see. There's a Wienerfest fundraiser happening. Now, I've been talking about Wienerfest Northwest, which is happening July 31st and August 1st. It benefits Wienerfest, the Yelm Lions, and Almost Home Dachshund Rescue Society at Yelm Prairie Days on Saturday, June 26th, this Saturday. Registration in person only from noon to 3. Also a costume contest, and this is for dachshunds only. Papers are not required. $10 to enter the races, $5 for the costume contest. Winners receive a special VIP pack for Wienerfest, which is Saturday and Sunday, July 31st and August 1st at Grays Harbor County Fairgrounds. The website for that is wienerfestnw.com. And we actually have a VIP pack to give away today on the show later.
Right on.
We're going to do some Dog Talk Show trivia today. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing great. What a great day to take your dog for a walk.
Isn't it? Yeah. It's a lovely day. We're getting summer's close.
And with the VIP package, curious about this for Northwest Wienerfest, does this also give you a VIW pass as well?
It's funny you say that, Eric, because that's actually what Sherry, the coordinator of the event, called it in another email telling me about it, a VIW pack.
Right.
Very important wiener.
Of course.
So yes, actually, it does.
Awesome.
It does include a VIW pack. So it's two VIP passes for the weekend event, VIP parking pass, as well as some Wienerfest or Wiener Tales merchandise, T-shirt, and all sorts of good stuff. So we're giving away one of those in the third segment today. So stay tuned for that. Dog Talk Show Trivia will win you a VIP/VIW pack for Wienerfest Northwest, which is at the end of July. Gilda's Club Seattle is hosting a dog walk Sunday, July 25th, the weekend before Wienerfest. That's from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Magnuson Park in Seattle. And Gilda's Club is a support organization that provides support for people whose lives have been touched by cancer. So whether they are undergoing treatment or they've had a family member who is undergoing treatment or lost a family member to cancer. And it's for Gilda Radner, who died of ovarian cancer. She was a comedian. Very funny, funny lady. She had a dog. And so they're doing their first annual dog walk as a fundraiser for Gilda's Club, which is a wonderful organization. And that is July 25th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The website's gildasclubseattle.org. And let's see, there's also a fundraiser for, it's a service dog fundraiser for a disabled veteran. It's for a psychiatric service dog. And it's actually a dog that is in training with Darcy, who is the owner of Healing Allies. She trains psychiatric service dogs, also known as mental health service dogs, for people with mental impairments. And so a disabled veteran has a dog in training. She is looking to raise some money to help fund this. And the dog in training, Susie, who you met today, Jennifer, who's adorable.
It's very cute.
Susie will be there in attendance, so you can come and meet Susie as well. But that fundraiser is July 9th at 7 p.m. at Jabu's Pub, which is in Seattle, Lower Queen Anne, 174 Roy Street, 206-284-9093, or jabuspub.com. And that will all be on the Dog Talk Show website. There will be live music, silent auction items, and like I said, the dog in training, Susie, who's being trained by Darcy Bolts, the owner of Healing Allies, will be in attendance, so you can meet the service dog in training. She's wonderful. And the website for Healing Allies, if you want to check that out, is www.healingallies.com, and that's H-E-E-L-I-N-G allies.com. And that is it for my announcements. Lots of wonderful events. Tis the season. Summer seems to be filled with events. Oh, also, too, the new issue of City Dog magazine is hot off the press, and there is an article about me in there as part of talking about people who have pet-related careers.
And you didn't bring in several hundred copies?
I haven't gotten any yet.
Oh,
they're
okay.
Just hot off the press.
All right.
Like yesterday.
Next week, I expect to see.
I will, because we
City
had
Dog
a photo
magazine.
Shoot in here with Levi.
Yes.
For the magazine. I haven't seen it yet, so
okay.
I'm looking forward to that.
Anxious to see how that turned out, because it was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, the pictures, Levi, I think, is a little more photogenic than I am. But
oh, Julie.
But it was great.
Well, he was more of a ham than you, I think.
Yes.
So.
Well, yeah, he was a good sport. And so new summer edition of City Dog magazine is out, so look for that in your local pet store. You can also subscribe online. It's a really great deal for a full year subscription, citydogmagazine.com. So Jennifer DeRosa is here with us today. She's the owner of Adaptable for Life and is an occupational therapist. And we're going to talk about older adults and dogs. So retirement age and older and considerations around getting a dog. You've got some great stories. But what is when I think of occupational therapy, I think of somebody who counsels somebody to get a job or something like that.
I knew you were going to say that.
I bet you hear that all the time. What is it that you do?
Well, I knew I wanted to be an occupational therapist in sophomore year in high school.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, specifically, we're trained to work with people who have disabilities, whether they be learning disabilities or young children with autism or adults suffering like a physical disability or a cognitive disability. So our training really looks at the physical body, the mind, and emotions in people's learning styles. And then unique to occupational therapy is looking at the environment. Mm. So specific to my business, which is a private practice business, Adaptable for Life, we work with people to help keep them home, whether they have a physical disability or a cognitive disability.
Mm.
So one part of the business is looking at home accessibility. So we work with some great contractors, and folks call us first so they can really identify and prioritize what their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
And then another piece of the business is working with providing wellness services. So that's where some of my work comes in with my dog, Boo, who's a mini schnauzer.
Mm-hmm.
And these are clients that suffer from both physical disabilities disabilities as well as cognitive disabilities such as Alzheimer's and dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And Boo's amazing. And people like remember Boo's name before they remember my name. So, and he just really brings a lot of great energy to these folks. He wakes them up,
mm-hmm.
you know, with dementia and Alzheimer's. Sometimes it's really hard to communicate or connect at various stages of that disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing the energy Boo can bring to the room.
Yeah, and I remember you were describing that, and I've seen this too. I used to do volunteer work when I was in college with rescue greyhounds, and we would go and pick up the greyhounds from the Greyhound Rescue of Vermont who had the temperament for it, and we would take them around to area nursing homes and mm-hmm, stuff like mm-hmm. that. And there were some of the residents who were totally, you know, with it but just needed that support, you know, had... cognitively were pretty crisp, and they would see the dog and start telling us about the dogs they had. But there were some people who were harder to connect with, but when they saw the dogs, you could just feel it. Like as soon as their hands touched the dog's head, you could just like feel how good that felt for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about words. It's totally nonverbal.
And I think it's such a exactly just that. I mean, people who really I work with who really haven't been able to move their hands very well and haven't been really able to communicate in full sentences. And all of a sudden, these automatic phrases come out and they're moving their hand and they're talking with Boo and then they're asking for Boo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty magical. So it's really fun to see him engage.
Yeah,
like that.
You're here. Where's Boo?
Right.
Yeah.
People have actually said that to
me.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Are the dogs in the car?
Yeah, where's the dog? Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking more with Jennifer about her experiences with what she does and about considerations for older adults with dogs. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
I love my dog as much as I love you. But you may think my dog will always come through.
Need more room for your Marmaduke? Maybe more open space or a larger home? How about being closer to your favorite dog park? Call Von Provo with Preview Properties at 425-359-0165. Remember, finding that just right location is Von's specialty. No dog is too big or too small that we can't locate just what you're looking for. Marmaduke's new home is only one call away. So call us or come visit the website at vonprovo.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week at Shelter, Rescue, Sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on the birds at Mollywood, the wildlife at Sarvey Wildlife Care Center, and the horses at Equine Rescue Alliance. Plus, Kat Albright from Missing Pet Partnership will join us to talk about the 4th of July and missing pets. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Thanks to you, Alternative Talk 1150 is a breath of fresh air. Help us shape 1150 moving forward. Log on to 1150kknw.com. That's 1150.com and take our annual listener survey. We want to hear from you. Log on to 1150kknw.com and give us your thoughts. And you'll be entered into our drawing to win a trip for two on Victoria Clipper, including a whale watching excursion and champagne breakfast. 1150kknw.com. Have your voice heard. Contest details posted online.
Does it break your heart to see your dog limping, not feeling well, anxious, or nervous? You know something is wrong, but you're unable to find any answers. Animal healing expert Vicki Draper combines her intuitive connection, her healing gift of touch, and her extensive training to serve you and your pet. Vicki performs both local and distant sessions, providing you with her services from both near and far. Clients have reported Vicki saving them hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Contact Vicki Draper at www.vimeer.com. That's V-I-M-I-E-R-E.com.
Lewis and Clark would be proud. We're exploring new territory on the air every day right here on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
So I love my dog as much as I love you.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. That's quite a love song. Hey, I love my dog as much as I love you.
That's right.
And for some people, that's okay.
That's certainly how I feel sometimes when these clients are asking for Boo and don't remember my name.
Yeah. So now we're back with Jennifer DeRosa, who is an occupational therapist and owner of Adaptable for Life. And the website is adaptableforlife.com. And if anyone has any questions for Jennifer, feel free to call in. She's here to answer your questions today as well. So that is an option, 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Those are going to be the numbers, too, to call in during the next segment for Dog Talk Show Trivia. We will be giving away a VIP / VIW, very important, Wiener prize pack, two VIP weekend passes for Wiener Fest Northwest, one VIP parking pass, two T-shirts of the winner's choice, either Wiener Tales or Wiener Fest memorabilia. So you can call in for that as well. So, Jennifer, you've got some experience directly related to these and also some interesting information from some studies that have been done. But one of the stories that you had was about a client that had to go and leave the house for rehab.
I mean, these stories just go on throughout my experience, you know, as an occupational therapist working in rehab centers and now helping people, you know, transition from rehab center back home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, when I was working in the rehab center, it was just people were just devastated to be there. I mean, whether it was intentional or it was a traumatic event. And, you know, oftentimes when you find out a little bit about a person to try to find out what motivates them, that really helps them participate
mm-hmm.
in rehab. So, you know, with one client I had experience with who had a hip replacement, she it was just really hard to get her motivated. She had a lot of pain. And I talked to her family and suggested, you know, why not bring the dog in? Bring the dog into rehab and see if we can't get her spirits lifted. I mean, sure enough, she was like, what pain?
Yeah.
And then, you know, we incorporated that in the therapy session when I was still working in inpatient. And that really just helped her attend to the task and focus on the dog. And she really, you know, I think that dog became a bridge to home.
Yeah.
It was a motivation like no human could give her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can just imagine how much she missed her dog. You know, I mean, in addition to all the other challenges of being in that situation and then just the sort of ray of sunlight that a dog can be, mm-hmm. in, you know, walking into the room. That's great.
And it really kind of honed in on a lot of the training with her because, you know, people who have hip replacements, they have special precautions or things they can't do for a certain amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
So using the dog in real life situations, something she really cared about, helped hone in what we taught her, like how to, you know, bend over to feed the dog, different ways that she was going to have to adapt that situation.
Yeah.
You know, taking the dog for a walk, what accommodations we might have to make to her home in preparation,
mm-hmm.
and just building up her stamina in the rehab to make home a real option.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, you have some interesting information from some studies that have been done.
Well, one study, something I heard on the news today I was kind of surprised about was that 70% of people aged 60 years or older are overweight.
Mm.
So then that kind of really hit home with a study that I read from the American Geriatric Society.
Mm-hmm.
And they looked at folks who own dogs and how much they walked. And I guess the recommended amount of walking for folks, these folks were aged 72 to 81, was to walk about 150 minutes per week. And, you know, at the end of the study, what they found out was that pretty much owning a dog may or may not help somebody walk more.
Mm-hmm.
So don't everybody run out and get a dog, not thinking that that's going to, you know, encourage you to walk. But they did find that those folks did walk a bit faster. Folks who owned a dog walked faster than folks who didn't own a dog.
Hmm.
And that they did meet the 150-minute a week recommended amount of walking. compared to folks who did not own a dog.
But it didn't necessarily show that they walked more?
No, they didn't walk more. And actually, folks that were in the study that actually did own a dog, 36% of them did not walk their dog. So that, so I think that that's a really important factor, you know, to consider.
Yeah. And yeah, I think, you know, it's, you have to be, I think, so careful anyway when you're getting a dog, but to really, to not, I don't think it's generally a good idea to surprise somebody like, ha, we got you a dog and this is what it's going to do for you. And especially, you know, if you have a, an older adult in your family and you're like, oh gosh, wouldn't it be great if that person got out more? And like, it's not necessarily going to change the person's exercise level.
Their personality.
It may just mean that the dog doesn't get enough exercise. So, so really, really, I mean, there are extra considerations, which we'll talk about in the next segment specifically, because I want to talk about these other studies about, okay, if you have decided to get a dog, or you're an older adult who has decided to get a dog, you know, what's the best way to go about doing that so you get a good fit? But not a good idea to just get a dog for somebody to kind of make them walk more, because it's not necessarily going to happen.
Yeah. And I would definitely like to add to that, too. And I'm happy that we're talking about the considerations, not only for the type of dog or considerations about the dog, but also considerations about the person. Because you can sit and think for a really long time, and I'll share a personal story in our next segment about choosing to get a dog for a loved one who's a little bit older. And sometimes it just doesn't turn out the way that you think it's going to turn out.
Yeah, we'll talk about LJ next segment.
You know, there was another thing, though, another one of those studies that I kind of wanted to talk about, which I just was so thought was amazing, and it was so inspiring. And there's this place out in Wisconsin where the outpatient rehab program for folks to participate in rehab after they have open heart surgery, they teamed up with a local humane society and started this walking program. Because after open heart surgery, typically folks go through quite a few weeks of therapy to build themselves up after their open heart surgery, both physically, mentally, and then looking at nutrition. And so I just thought that that was a great match for the Humane Society to meet up with folks and get them moving and get their dog some love and attention.
Yeah. And so was that about actually getting them out walking the dogs or visiting with?
It was actually visiting. So it was part of their exercise routine. So instead of walking on a treadmill,
they
were
walk
learning
the dogs.
Learning how to take their heart rate and walk the dogs, do something functional.
And also you're adding in the healing element of what dogs bring otherwise. You know, it's great that they're, it's like a way to get them out to get their physical exercise, to physically build the strength. But, you know, when more and more as we learn about health and wellness, so much of that has to do with our emotional well-being and energetic and almost spiritual in a way, too. So that that sort of adds in a, like an extra boost to help them heal, I would imagine.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because it just reminded me when I was working in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, I was the OT in the ICU, and we primarily saw clients after open heart surgery in the intensive care unit. And people would literally tell me that they felt like their heart had been broken. And they really did have this emotional response after their surgery. And it was really overwhelming. And a lot of it can be anxiety provoking because of the precautions you have. And that is definitely what a dog can bring to the table, especially for that outpatient piece.
So when you're an OT in the ICU, you really need a VIW.
Yes, you do. You do.
I think I just confused everybody, but
very important.
Yeah.
Yes. Dachshund. So it's interesting, too, in talking about heart, because the connection I know that I have where that connection is in the body as far as chakras go is in the heart. So if you're talking about cardiac patients who have actually had surgery on their heart, but that's where the connection is. I know that that's where I felt my grief when I lost Chewy, my first dog in last September, and not just where I felt my grief, but where I felt the love that's still there for him so strong. So if somebody has that connection with a dog, it's like energetically feeding that area too. So kind of an interesting parallel for that. So, and I have links to these studies, actually, if you want to go and read the full the full study, those are actually up now on the website on dogtalkshow.com. So you can go and just click on the link to the study if you're interested in finding out more of the details about it. So, so we are going to take a break. Now, feel free to call in if you have questions for Jennifer about your own family member or, you know, anything for her as an occupational therapist. Feel free to call in. The number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. This is also the number to call for Dog Talk Show Trivia, which we will do in the next segment. 425-373-5527. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Kemmley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Kemmley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Kemmley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemmleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Forget their space and come check out our space on the web, 1150kknw.com, and find out about Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We are back today with Jennifer DeRosa, owner of Adaptable for Life and occupational therapist. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, before we get into your stories about, you know, the decision for an older adult to get a dog, let's do Dog Talk Show trivia. What we are giving away today is a VIP pack for Wienerfest Northwest, which is end of July, beginning of August, July 31st and August 1st, down in Elma, Washington, which is in the Olympia area. Darcy and I are going to this. We're going down for the weekend. It's going to be a blast. They're doing wiener dog races, all breed dog costume contest, They're even doing cart races for dogs with long backs that are in carts because they're paralyzed. So cute.
Mm-hmm.
And all of and then a ton of other stuff. It's really family friendly. It's only $2 to get in. I think kids are free, and there's all sorts of contests, lots of things for kids to do. And what's more entertaining, really, than wiener dog races? And this is also promoting, you know, this is not-for-profit wiener dog racing. This is to support Almost Home Dachshund Rescue Society, and they're very mindful and conscientious about practicing safe wiener racing and really taking the safety of the dogs into consideration as far as the surfaces and all that, and the length of the race and that type of thing.
Do they allow betting?
No. No gambling.
No wagering allowed.
No. Although, if you were going to bet, I'd put all your chips on my dachshund, Leia, because she's very fast. She will be racing that day. So, but we're giving away a VIP pack. It includes two VIP passes for the weekend, VIP parking pass, Wiener Fest or Wiener Tales t-shirts. So here's the question. The number, I'll give out the number first, 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Now, Jennifer mentioned that she has a schnauzer named Boo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you have two
LJ.
Schnauzers, right,
mm-hmm.
which we'll talk about in just a second. There are three official sizes of schnauzer. Three sizes that they come in, and there is a specific name for each size. Three sizes, what are they?
I know, but...
Yeah,
I can't say.
You can't say. This is for listeners to call in and answer to win the VIP package for Wienerfest Northwest. So if you have a dog, and this is not just a dachshund event. There's a all dog breed costume contest. I mean, this is open to all dogs. There's just the dachshund races that are happening, and it's to benefit Almost Home Dachshund Rescue. So there are three sizes of schnauzer.
Are you sure there's not four? Because I don't know what category Boo fits in.
There's only three.
Okay.
Officially. So I'm looking for the names of the three sizes of schnauzer. And you can call 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So... either do your research and look that up if you need to, or if you know it off the top of your head. Or you can take a guess. Call in to win those VIP passes for Wienerfest Northwest. 425-373-5527. Do you know, Jennifer?
I do know.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yeah, I know for like Leia, who's a dachshund, and I won't... for dachshunds, there's two, which I won't give away. And Leia's kind of in between.
Yeah,
so
I think Boo's
she's
in between.
Not like technically, she doesn't fit into the one category. She doesn't totally fit into the other one. So she's actually, they kind of call him a tweenie.
Tweenie.
Yeah. So we have Lori in Seattle on line one, who's going to try to answer this question. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. So you think you know this answer?
Yeah, I know this one.
All right. What you got?
I got giant, standard, and mini.
Very well done. So you have won yourself VIP passes for Wiener Fest, which is end of July, beginning of August.
Okay.
Well done. Now, do you have a schnauzer?
Yes.
You do? What size do you have?
He's in between standard and miniature.
Oh, all right. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for calling in, and thanks for listening. And we're going to send you back to Darcy and get your mailing address so that we can get those passes out to you.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
So, Jennifer, now you have Boo, and mm-hmm. you have LJ,
mm-hmm.
and LJ is a new addition.
He is a new addition.
And he's a new addition as a result of our next topic.
Exactly. Considerations.
Yes.
For getting dogs as companions mm-hmm. for folks, whether they just be, you know, older adults or just adults in general.
Yep.
So we had talked with a family member of ours, actually, Mitsu is yep. her name, and she fell in love with Boo, I think, from the moment she met him.
Yeah.
And she just started talking to us about wanting a dog, and I think she's 75 or 74.
Uh-huh.
And she had owned a dog, you know, previously, in her lifetime. And we just started weighing out the pros and cons. What type of breed? How would she be able to walk the dog? Did she feel comfortable and safe getting the dog out in her community for walks? Did she feel comfortable and safe at different times of the day that she would need to let the dog go out to have him do his business?
Mm-hmm.
And she had a fenced-in yard, which was, you know, great.
Mm-hmm.
And we had done a lot of, like, lighting in the back area of her yard, so it would just automatically go on when she stepped out.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to move forward with getting her a dog. And she felt really interested. She felt pretty passionate about getting a puppy.
Yeah.
Which I thought was kind of interesting. And so we sort of weighed those pros and cons out as well.
And you had, as you were going through these considerations, you had a backup plan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We had a backup. So the backup plan was that my partner and I were confident that if it didn't work out, we would take on the responsibility of the dog.
Right. And bring him into your family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So you got the puppy. And
he was a great puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to training classes, actually,
yeah.
by you,
yeah.
which were super helpful,
yeah.
especially for me because, you know, my partner already had Boo
yeah.
when I came into his life.
Mm-hmm.
And so those training classes were really helpful for me as well. So I attended the training classes with Mitsu,
mm-hmm.
with LJ, and he was amazing. And a lot of the times I forget how young he is
because
yeah. he's still just 7 months now.
Yeah.
And and then I just saw that the energy between Mitsu and LJ was really, he was too much energy for her.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And with his personality, he was a wonderful dog. I mean, he is a wonderful dog. He's a puppy. He's, he's not overly dominant, but he's got more of a dominant personality. He's got some dominance to him. And he's, smart little guy, kind of a happening guy. And it felt like when I was coaching Mitsu in the class with you that he just felt like he was too much. Like she couldn't, be enough of a presence for him to kind of give him the structure that he needed to, develop into a well-balanced adult and stuff like that.
Well, her ability to take on that leadership role.
Mm-hmm.
I think we underestimated her ability to take that on, and perhaps she did herself as well.
Mm-hmm. And he was a dog that needed that. I mean, not all dogs do, and he was a dog that you really needed to have that in order to raise, I think, effectively so that he wouldn't have behavioral problems or feel like anxious because of the lack of leadership. So.
Well, and interestingly enough, now that we have him in our house. He's
mm-hmm.
ours.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitsu co-parents. So she took him last weekend.
So you have a great setup now. So you got to the point where you were like, okay, I think that we need to go to plan B.
Which I was to really take, open which and was, frank with her.
Yeah. But that was hard. Even, so I think one of the things that you said was like, if you say that you have a plan B, be prepared to maybe have to execute it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a little different. Doing it and saying it are two different things.
Yeah, my partner and I definitely went through that
yeah.
feeling
mm-hmm.
when we actually decided to talk with Mitsu about it.
Mm-hmm.
That feeling of, oh, wow, we really have to do what we just said
mm-hmm.
hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah. And you've got a puppy now.
So we have a puppy now. And,
yeah.
The interesting thing you were talking about, LJ is more of a dominant dog, whereas Boo had always been extremely dominant, family members have bull mastiffs.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these huge dogs. And
yeah.
Boo would just tell them where to go and he'd
right.
eat their food and their water.
Right.
And when we brought LJ home,
yeah.
LJ could have Boo's food, Boo's water, Boo's bones, all of his toys. He could sit on me and Boo was not putting
yeah.
up a fight at all.
Yeah.
So it really, the responsibility then was on myself and my partner to set those boundaries for Boo.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and I, started talking about that a little bit, is taking into consideration who else in the family has to adjust to the new dog.
Including your existing pets,
mm-hmm.
Because what if, and Boo and LJ play a lot and they seem to really you know, have affection for each other. And so that's doesn't seem like an issue, but it could be. I mean, if you had an older established dog and you bring in this puppy and then all of a sudden the dog just gets depressed or something, then it's like, well, now what do we do? Well, is it really fair for our existing pets to keep this new pet if they're having a really hard time and it's not just normal transition?
Mm-hmm. And we actually make up for that too, because you know, I'll take LJ with me separate from Boo.
Yeah.
So Boo can have some downtime, because the observation has definitely been that if Boo is not giving LJ the attention, LJ will go over and try to get it from Boo. So if I'm attending to Boo, LJ is right in there. So there's a lot of technique, mm-hmm. you know, even just in trying to separate that out to give time for both dogs and to just let Boo have a little downtime.
Yeah. Have them have some Boo time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So considerations about getting a dog, you know, and dogs are individuals just like people. So there are certainly different breeds. I mean, there are breeds, I would say, across the board, maybe with, you know, a very, very small percentage of exceptions within that breed, that would not be a good fit for an older adult who's not still running marathons or something, you know, like just to sort of generalize. Like a husky or, you know, German short-haired pointer, like these dogs that are just bred to be running all day. Border collie, Australian cattle dog, which I have two of, I can tell you for sure. High energy, high intensity. I mean, our cattle dogs are challenging for us, and we train dogs for a living. So it's like, you know, and that's why we have them, because we want a dog that's actually going to challenge us. So
that's a really interesting point, though. And, you know, as we get older, and I think women put a lot of pride on being able to multitask. I'm sorry, but we are better multitaskers than guys are. But I think we hold on to that as we get older. And I've watched older women I've worked with, and I've had these frank conversations with them, that we just don't multitask the way we used to. And then if you're under stress, so like with folks that I help transition from a nursing home to home, and you're under that stress of recovering from an injury or an illness, and now there's new medications and precautions you have to follow related to your surgery, and then you're going back home with your dog, there's a lot to pay attention to. So I think that that again poses a different challenge for the dog owner returning home in a different state with the same dog and being able to really kind of talk about that with your family and who can help you to give that dog the care and attention and the structure and the boundaries that the dog needs in this new time.
And finding a dog that's needs for all of those, you know, structure, attention, energy, output, both physical and mental, is, you know, finding a good match. And, you know, maybe a puppy's not a great, puppies are a lot of work. I mean, it's, you're raising a baby animal and house training. I mean, it's really labor intensive. And then you go through adolescence and it's like all that. So maybe an older dog, adult dog, maybe even an older dog. I mean, that to me seems like perfect. Like you get a dog that's in its same life stage as the person. So it's, and there's a lot of older dogs that need homes. They need a home to live out the rest of their life in that's quiet and peaceful and loving, and they're lower maintenance, and they're happy to just kind of hang out and are going to sleep more because they're older, just like people do, you know, all that type of stuff. And there's even rescue groups like Old Dog Haven, I think, is one of them. And they are a network of foster homes, basically, that just give dogs a place to live out the rest of their lives. And some of them are closer to end of life than others. But that, to me, sounds like a great option for older adults who are not high energy to find a dog that needs a home that's a great temperament, and they're already house trained, and they're, you know, we already know that they're great with, you know, whoever they need to be great with, whether it be kids because of grandkids or whatever. And you know, to get an older adult 5-6-7-year-old dog and just care for them as they are older.
Yeah, that's a good point, because we've noticed changes with Boo now that he's a little bit older.
And there's lots of changes. And that's an adjustment too. I mean, so,
you know, that brings up another point that you and I had talked about in terms of, you know, dogs, owners that have had dogs in the past, mm-hmm. and then they want to go ahead and get a new dog because the dog has passed away.
Yes, yes. We're going to continue this conversation when we come back from break. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Stop to call her. Lily runs when you look away. Lily leaves kisses on your collar. Lily, 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 stay.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your Pet Cycle system today.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
Hi, I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, the show that lets you talk with your animals Wednesdays at 3 p.m. As a medium, I talk with your companions live on air to find the answers to the questions you want to ask. Call in and ask about health, behavior, transitions in life, or anything else. Even talk with animals who have crossed over. Animals have wonderful things to say. Join us for a fun-filled and inspiring hour Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Talk With Your Animals with Joy Turner, the show you and your animal companions are going to love.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Stay informed with news, traffic, and weather at the top of the hour, weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 a.m. We're back with Jennifer DeRosa, owner of Adaptable for Life and occupational therapist. Welcome back. So, we've got a lot to cover in this last segment. First thing is, in part of considerations of getting a dog, a lot of times people, when they're older adults, have had dogs throughout their lives. And a lot of people stay within the same breed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we've always had Irish setters and, you know, we've always had setters and, you know, we've had two, let's say, and then we got this third one and it's like not like their last setter.
Or even other clients, you know, where the dogs have passed,
mm-hmm.
and they're ready to, you know, get a new dog, but they stay within the same breed.
Yeah. And just to know that dogs are different just like people.
Mm-hmm.
So like siblings, like just because you have two kids, I mean, those two kids oftentimes have completely different personalities and temperaments. And there are things that you can generalize to breed as far as temperament goes. But I think something that can trip people up is when they get, you know, we had a golden retriever before, so we're going to get another one and it's going to be exactly like the first one. And then it's like totally different dog. And they're like, whoa, what, you know, what happened?
Well, and the person's different, too. Right. So now they're a little bit older because they've had their dog for, you know, 10, 12 years.
Yeah. And also the dog that they had most recently was an older dog, and then they go and get a puppy. So then they forget what their older dog was like maybe when they were a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, our dog was so easy and perfect, and now we have a puppy. Well, it's a puppy.
So. Well, yeah, and even just some of the considerations for the person as well as the dog when they return home from a rehab, like a client I had, her family was from out of town, and she had a hip replacement, but she also suffered from diabetes, so she didn't have, like, such great sensation in her fingers and, and hands. And it was really an issue because with the precautions from the hip replacement, we had to figure, how is she going to bend down and feed the dog? How is she going to take care of the dog in terms of taking it for a walk? But then medication, she was now on narcotics, pain medications. Mm. And then she was dropping them on the floor. And the consideration for the dog, how do we make that a safe environment for the dog? So my job was really kind of identifying a medication routine. Where can that happen? What's the medical equipment she needed to get discharged home with before she was home? To make that transition a little bit smoother for everybody, including the dog.
Yeah. And there's work, you know, you do the work with the people. And then also, like, in that same situation, like, okay, now this person has had hip surgery, has these medications that would be dangerous for the dog if the dog got into them. Mm-hmm. They dropped the pills on the floor. Maybe the dog was, you know, not trained to keep off and not jump up. Well, now the dog can't do that. So there's all of these challenges now as a result of the change in the person's life. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that dogs can learn, too. You know, you can work with the dog. Like, okay, well, the dog jumps up. The dog eats stuff off the ground. That's not going to work. We need to give the dog away. It's like, well, most likely not. You know, dogs can learn. Old dogs can learn new tricks. So, you know, get somebody in to, you know, and this is what I do for a living, is to come in and work with people to change behavior and to get a dog's education. So teach the dog not to jump up. Very straightforward. Teach the dog not to eat anything off the ground, ever. I mean, that's part of what Darcy does in training service dogs. That's part of what they have to do. They can learn that. So if a pill drops on the ground, the dog's going to know, don't go for it. You know, how to walk on leash and not to pull and all that type of stuff so that the person can still have the dog and live with the dog. Because,
well, and that's a quality of life that they're looking for.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what pulled them through the rehab.
I mean, that's the last thing they need, is to have to lose their dog as a result of, you know, the change. So, and then you also too, you know, sometimes it's not the best choice. Sometimes you just, maybe the best choice is to just not get a dog.
Well, yeah, it's interesting you should say that, because we just went through that with my partner's mom. She retired, oh gosh, I think it's been like 2 years ago now. And she was really trying to decide, should she or shouldn't she get a dog? Because she had dogs all the time growing up, raising the kids. And we talked about it for a long time, like at least 8 months. And she finally decided not to get a dog because she didn't want to give up her retirement, her freedom, her own scheduling, that she can do anything, stay anywhere at a drop of a hat. And you can't really do that all the time when you have a dog.
Yeah. And sometimes the best choice is to just say no. And she's got, you know, like what you've got with Mitsu now is sort of a babysitting situation, where they'll go and maybe spend the night with her so that she can benefit from having them in her home and being with dogs, but she doesn't have to live with them day in and day out and have that responsibility. So,
Oh, she gets the companionship without having all that responsibility. Of course, the pressure's on now for us to have children, which actually, you know, figured into the conversation, because again, now she can really devote time to.
Yeah, fine. I won't get a dog, but you have to have babies.
Right. That's okay though, because we want to have them. But
yeah. So now your website, Jennifer, is adaptableforlife.com. And that will be on the Dog Talk Show website. And you work with people to basically to keep them in their homes, ideally, after various challenges or life changes.
Exactly.
And it's not just older adults, but you'll work with all ages. And
exactly. And, you know, sometimes being in the home, if the home can't be modified or if the family supports, you know, aren't there, sometimes that isn't the best choice. You know, that sometimes for people is a possibility. We sort of talk through that. And I work with so many great folks and other companies that help support me in the work that I do. And I'm able to refer out to others as needed.
That's great. So if you're interested in Jennifer's services for yourself or your family, you can find her at adaptableforlife.com. And that again will be on the Dog Talk Show website. All of the past shows are archived on the website. which is www.dogtalkshow.com. I was on the highway today driving down to work with a client, and I saw a car drive past me with a gorgeous Dog Talk Show sticker on it.
Those are sharp.
It looked great, and I was thrilled. I love seeing those out and about, seeing more and more of them. If you would like me to send you a free car sticker, waterproof, weatherproof sticker, just send me an email, host@dogtalkshow.com. And I'd be happy to get one, or however many you want, in the mail. You can put one on your car. You can put them on all your family's cars, hand them out to your friends, all that good stuff. They're really cute stickers. You can see what they look like on the website. It's that oval logo on the top. That's what the sticker looks like exactly. So that's host@dogtalkshow.com. Feel free to email me for that. And next week we have on Kate Munson, who's a volunteer for Seattle Humane. She is one of the people who runs the pet loss support groups there for free, which I went to when I lost Chewy, and it was wonderful to just talk to other people who are in the same place as you and just really grieving the loss of their pet. It's such a wonderful service that they offer for people for support in that time when maybe not everybody in their life understands mm-hmm. how big of a deal it is. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to having her on the show next week. And that's it for today. Thanks so much, Jennifer.
Julie, thanks. Your show is such a great resource for all things related to dogs.
Thank you. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.